Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, no matter how you look at it, President Trump is under assault, and his administration is continually besieged by enemies, it seems, both within as well as without. Now, some of these are sore losers, we know that, but most of them seem to embrace a completely different view of America and America's role in the world, and they seem to be willing to not stop at anything until they stop the president. So today, with the help of Bill Koenig, he is the White House correspondent there. He's been there at the White House for over 16 years. We're going to walk through with him. We're going to examine the president's problems, all of them major. They seem to be all over the world, and they seem to be all at once. From continued internal challenges, problems with the establishment, both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican, to Trump challenges in the Middle East with Iran and Russia, to Trump's Russian problems generally, and then now North Korea in the North Korean Peninsula that demands that something's done soon. All of these things are shouting very clearly the president's problems, all major, all over, and frankly, all at once. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr. I'm going to be joined by Gary Dahl today. And, of course, our special guest, who I'll introduce a little bit more fully just a little bit later, Bill Koenig. But Gary, before we get into this great topic and try and bring some clarity to things that are rather complex, I want to go, if I could, to something that's happening today as we speak. Very critical, I haven't seen anything in the news about it, but it is an election that's taking place today, and a national election in a very critical country in Africa. That nation is Kenya. Now, last Thursday, Gary, we had on a pastor who called in from Nairobi, and we talked about the activation of the church there in Kenya and the involvement of pastors there in particular and the ability for the American Pastors Network to be playing a role and hopefully, Lord willing, an increasing role if God provides those means by what the pastors are wanting us to do to come and teach them there. But that being said, a conversation I had yesterday with pastors from Kenya made it very, very clear. They are wanting the church in America to pray for them today in this election, like they were praying for us last year at this time for the election here in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you just a brief update of what's taking place. In Kenya, today, there is a choice between two presidential candidates. One of them is the sitting president. If you recall, if you remember, the past president, Barack Obama, visited Kenya. He had a meeting with the president. And I saw it in the news that they said they announced to that president in Kenya to keep his mouth shut about matters of pro-life issues because the Obama administration was putting pressure on Kenya and other nations around the world to incorporate abortion policies and gay right policies into their constitutions. And if they wouldn't do that, they were going to withhold U.S. foreign aid. Believe it or not, that's exactly what was being done. Well, the President Obama went there. He did say something to the Kenyan president, and the Kenyan president, I don't know the exact words, but he basically publicly denounced him for that effort. He stood there in that gap for truth. Well, that president is up for re-election today. He's being challenged by another candidate who has Islamic leanings, who is being funded heavily by George Soros and the left. He is everything about abortion rights and gay rights and a whole host of things. This is the choice there for the people in Kenya. That president, the presidential candidate, has said that, surprisingly, he was not going to concede if he loses. Sounds like last year in this election in the United States. They had, the last election, they had a lot of violence. They're afraid of violence after the close of this day when they're counting the votes. But, Gary, I want you to do something right now. There's also, we mentioned, but there's also something that affects the church that's happening there, a piece of legislation that will go forward if this presidential candidate, and by the way, he's not only an abortion embracing, gay rights embracing, but he's also known, and as I am told, even I guess on camera, to have a preponderance or a tendency to visit witches for his input. A clear choice. But Gary, there's a piece of policy over there that could dramatically negatively affect the church and the pastors in Kenya if that individual is elected today. Why don't you just tell our listeners about that briefly?
Well, that's absolutely true, Sam. And before I do that, yesterday just received a letter from a missionary who was really asking us to pray for him because he is not really in the city. He's sort of out in the country of Nairobi. And he says that he is expecting that it could be 2 to 4 weeks afterwards that there may be difficulties even buying and selling in the land of Kenya. He and his family have they've got a storehouse of food and so forth. And he said that they're equipped and they're ready. But as a result of this particular election and the fact that this one candidate may not concede, it could have a lot of detrimental effects upon the citizens of Kenya, and particularly the believers. But the other issue is this piece of legislation that has been written that pastors will be vetted. And what we understand is that the government is concerned about what pastors are doing and what they're teaching and what they're preaching. And in this vetting, if they don't come from the recognized Bible colleges and seminaries, and if they are not teaching the appropriate doctrine according to the government, whatever that would be, then they will not be allowed to preach and teach in their churches. And so what it could do is put some pastors out of commission and close down their churches. And this piece of legislation is written, and they are holding off to have a vote on it in their government over there until after today's election. So it's very, very serious. We need to pray for Kenya politically, and we need to pray for Kenya spiritually right now as well. And by the way, there's a great Islamic involvement in Kenya that would do what it can to silence the lips of the Christian preachers. So we really do need to pray for the people in Kenya.
We do indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do that at the end of the program here today. Let me share a couple of the things with you. There, for the first time, the church and pastors in Kenya have actually been involved in communicating a voter's guide. First time that ever been done. Calling out the distinctive between these two candidates. It has been, at this point right now, been seen by over 300,000 Kenyans, actually 350,000 Kenyans, calling on the church and Christians in Kenya to vote and to vote for the righteous candidates, very similar to what happened here in this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, God's doing things significantly around the world, but if you know how to pray, pray for Kenya right now as the election is underway there in that nation. When we come back, we're going to invite in our guest, Bill Koenig, White House correspondent, president of World Watch Daily, as we go to Trump's media assault problem, internal problems, including leaks, and the congressional resistance. We're going to talk to him about why that's happening, who's winning in this contest, and even more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in an unparalleled fashion, the full court press against President Trump clearly appears to be well orchestrated, it's incessant, and they seem to be out for blood. And no matter how you look at it, we are in perilous times in this country with the very fabric of our nation being torn in two. We are a divided nation, literally about 50-50. The division's deep. Many are trying to drive that division even deeper. Many are talking hostile, and if not, acting that way. So let's back up a bit and take a look at what's going on. We're going to call it the problem-solving segment here right now. This theme is the president's problems, all major, all over, all at once. He has local problems. Let's call them challenges. Okay? He has local challenges. He has regional challenges. He has national challenges. But there's also an enormous international challenges, all of them major. They're all over the world. They're all at once. And that's the theme here today. So to help us in this important analysis, I'd like to welcome in right now to Stand in the Gap Today, Bill Koenig, longstanding White House correspondent. He's the founder of World Watch Daily, which you can go to and look for yourself. Great site at watch, just like you wear on your wrist, watch.org. Bill's also an evangelist. He's a biblical scholar, knowledgeable in end-time prophecies, a true friend of all those who want to know the truth. Bill, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you, Sam. Great to be with you again.
Well, I tell you, Bill, we've got a lot to go over, and there's nobody better that I know, anyways, personally, to help walk through these issues than you. Let me set this up here right now for this first section, if I could. I think most people are very, very well that the media is hostile towards this president. Now, I say they're hostile towards everything relative to truth, but they're hostile really towards the president in their incessant goal, it seems, to keeping the American people inundated and off balance with either nonsense news or no news or fake news. Yesterday, an article was released by Jeff Reynolds laying out the Trump enemies' media playbook, and the title of that was Silencing All Opposition. Let me read just a little bit from it. I want to ask you if you agree with it, and then you go into this matter of the media. Just a little bit from the article says this, quote, even to casual observers, it's been obvious for months that the left is orchestrating a tightly coordinated campaign to undermine and delegitimize the current presidential administration. as an extension of the decades-long campaign to wrestle the narrative away from conservatives, independents, and centrists. They're smearing right-leaning commentators with anything that they can find. We now know, though, how the left is running this nonstop smear campaign and who is pulling the puppet strings. We have now the Media Matters playbook, and that's something that just came in possession of. Some of the well-known, well-funded organization individuals behind this is one well-known individual, billionaire George Soros. He's a key backer. Their motivation, according to their book, is obvious. The continued erosion of our constitutional republic, forming a direct democracy with the elite left permanently in charge. Boy, boy, does that make sense, but that's what we're seeing. It goes on in the mission. It's the mission that is most concerning. According to their playbook, here's what success will entail. Now, this is where I think we see the media. This is their strategy. This is what they're trying to do. Number one, Trump will be afflicted by a steady flow of damaging information, new revelations, and an inability to avoid conflicts and issues. Secondly, the Trump administration will be forced to defend illegal conduct in court. That's what they're trying to do. And then thirdly, powerful industries and interest groups will see their influence wane effectively as the president is sidetracked. So, Bill, let me go here. Do you agree with that assessment of the media's intent? And beyond that, of all of the president's problems or challenges in that perspective, how would you rate the significance of the major media conspiracy challenge to the president?
That was extremely well spoken and well written. This has been something that I've been watching closely daily since President Trump took office. Matter of fact, even before he took office. And, you know, George Soros, within 72 hours of the election, had for 48 hours at the Meridian Hotel here in Washington, D.C., some of the big financial backers of the Democratic Party to regroup and figure out what are they going to do next. And when you hear the questions and the targeting of the first two rows in the White House press room, which are the major TV networks and the major newspapers from the major cities of America, it is obvious that their whole objective is to destroy this presidency, and they are doing everything they can. They are even saying things that are completely false. They're taking some things and with their overactive imagination, overactive diabolic plan, taking this to a whole different level. I mean, I was there for 8 years of Bush, and they attacked him day in, day out, as well as Ronald Reagan had a difficult time with most of the media, which is very secular and humanistic. But we have never seen anything like this, Sam.
You know, one of the problems that this current president faces, Bill, is the problem with leaks. And, you know, as we understand that the media is fully complicit on this, which really is a concern, I think should be a concern for all Americans, that involves even national security. Now, as an insider and one who's been in the White House for a number of years with a number of different presidents, and as we look at these concepts of leaks, what do you think is really the cause of all of these leaks? Who's behind it? What's behind it? What's the broader goal of those leaks? And where is it going to end? I mean, this could really end in certain difficulties even for American policy and American security, I would think, as I mentioned a moment ago. Your thoughts on that?
No doubt about it, Gary. And there's when you consider a leak, okay, number one, there are supposed leaks from unidentified sources. And unfortunately, a fair amount of our secular, humanistic, leftist media will just make something up, whether it was a true leak or not. That's number one. Number two, you had leaks from Obama carryover people that were in place until they were replaced that were leaking things to the Washington Post, New York Times, the major networks, Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune. So you had those leakers. Then number three, you had people that were there during confidential phone calls, like with the Australian Prime Minister or the Mexican President. They were in the room. There were Obama carryovers that ended up leaving the White House and kept that information to be leaked at the most opportune time. Mm-hmm. And then number four, you have some competing factions within the administration, the moderate sides and the conservative sides, with Steve Bannon, Jared Kushner, the General McMaster, and then you've got the dynamics within the White House. Reince Priebus, they've mentioned his name a couple times. So you have some opposing views, and that was the purpose of bringing General Kelly in to create some order, and everything goes through him. But the bottom line, Gary, is we have really like four areas of leaks, and yes, some of them are very serious and could have to do with national defense policies as well as domestic policies.
What would it take to stop those leaks, Bill? I mean, it's very serious.
Oh, it's, you know, Gary, it's all, I would say it's all but impossible. Hmm. And when you have people that are committed to the president, which you saw during Obama's time in office, they were so committed to him and bought his whole spiel. You didn't have a lot of this stuff. Hmm. And you also have a president that, you know, as we know, as he shoots from the hip, he's not very politically correct at times. We wish it would be more so. We wish he would be restrained from some of these tweets that he's put out. When you look at all the things he's done and accomplished, which we don't see much of, you got to pretty much put your list together. It's pretty impressive. And then he's got a 10 evangelicals on his cabinet. I mean, there's a lot of good things there that please us. But again, at times, President Trump doesn't help himself by some of the things that he says.
Well, Bill, I wanted to get in here right now in our last little bit before we go to the break. Another obvious challenge, in turn, as we're looking right now pretty much as the domestic challenges that are there, but that's the establishment. It clearly appears that Democrat and Republican elite themselves are absolutely dead set against giving this president legislative wins. People who appear to hold the whole New World Order perhaps in higher esteem than making America great again. Talk to us a little bit about that in these closing minutes.
Yeah, two different dynamics here, Sam. One is the Democratic Party lost over 1,000 legislative seats from across America in all 50 states, as well as here in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's 1,000. I mean, they devastated. So they're doing everything they can right now to survive, and with hopes of gaining back the House, maybe the Senate. But so their survival is at risk. And then the other challenge for us as conservatives, this battle between moderates and conservatives in the Republican Party has affected good legislation.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our special guest, Bill Koenig, he's the president of World Watch Daily. You can go there and get his updates regularly by going to watch.org. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to go from the regional U.S. challenges. We've covered leaks and the media and others right now. We're going to go to the international, and we're going to talk about the challenges that are now facing the president, North Korea, Russia, the Middle East, and a host of things there. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with this great and exciting topic.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, and I would like to invite all of you who just may be joining us right now, midway, if you're listening live, you're probably in your lunch break, maybe getting back in your car or going somewhere. We thank you for being with us. If you missed the first part of this program, here we're talking today about Trump's problems, President Trump's problems, all major, all over, and all at once, it seems. We talked about media problems. We talked about inside problems with leaks. We talked a bit about the establishment problems, Democrats and Republicans. In the last segment, this segment, we're going to go to international issues with North Korea, Russia, Middle East, and Iran, and which, for those who picked up news at the bottom of the hour right here, just mentioned a couple of those things there. So it's leading issues here, ladies and gentlemen. If you have not done so before, be aware that you can pick up the archives of this program and all of our programs by going to standinthegapradio.com. And I would encourage you strongly, if you have an iPhone or an Android, get our free app. Download it. Go to your app store, put in the phrase Stand in the Gap. Or if you have an Android, put in the phrase American Pastors Network. Download that app. You can listen to then the program at your convenience. It's a great tool. You can partner with us financially. You can communicate with us and a whole host of things. I encourage you to do that. Now, with that being case, I'm going to welcome back in now Bill Koenig. And Bill, the president's domestic enemies and those at home here are great. We talked about some of them. But at the same time, some of these international challenges, by the fact that you're talking potential war, maybe they're even larger. Put together, they are major. I'd like to go to one right now that's demanding perhaps an imminent response by this White House, and that is what's happening with North Korea. The UN has sanctioned them 15-0 just a couple of days ago. The media generally is not even covering that. They're overlooking that, and the little dictator there, dictator Kim in North Korea, is as arrogant as ever, and has said he wants to nuke America and destroy us. He hates the president, and he hates everything we stand for. That being the case, the experts who once thought that North Korea was a backward little out of the way country have now come to the point where they're saying, wow. They've actually made great strides on military strategy and technology and missile technology, and now we know that they can actually reach the mainland here in the United States. It's a game changer. Bill Koenig, tell us what's being said in the White House, what's being communicated, and put this whole issue with North Korea into perspective with us as a major challenge facing the president.
Sam, I think a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that North Korea and Iran have a very close working relationship. They've had this for 15 plus years. And what is happening here, when there is a missile firing in North Korea, you've got Iranian officials there observing it. What has happened is Iran has developed the missile capability and the missile expertise, and North Korea is developing the nuclear expertise, and they're sharing notes and cooperating. These are probably two of the largest thorns in America's side, North Korea and Iran. This is, as others, Krautheimer and others, conservative pundits have said, you know, this is a can, and even generals, former CIA directors, this is a can that's been kicked down the road for 25 years, and one administration after another is, you know, worked on agreements, had discussions, had talks. None of it's worked. I mean, it has not worked to the extent of stopping North Korea from becoming a nuclear power. This administration, what was interesting, Sam, is right after President Trump took office, General Mattis, his first international trip was to Korea and Japan, South Korea and Japan, to meet with our allies to deal with the North Korean problem. Secretary of State Tillerson, same thing. As soon as he was approved by Senate, he flew to Korea and then met with the Japanese and then went to China to meet with the president of China and invited him to come down to Mar-a-Lago in Florida to meet with Mr. Trump, primarily about this North Korea issue. Well, one of the major issues was about the North Korea issue. So with all that said, this administration is going to have to do something. The problem is we've got 10 million plus living in Seoul, South Korea, and 25 million other people that could be at risk, and then you also have the Japanese. So, you know, that is the leverage that North Korea has, but at some point they're going to have to be dealt with because they seem very determined to develop a nuclear weapon that could put the entire United States at risk, as well as Japan, South Korea, and other U.S. allies in that area of the world.
Well, there's no doubt about it, but that North Korea situation is a hot spot, and it's going to be interesting to observe what will take place over there. But one of the other problems that President Trump is facing, Bill, is with Russia. We've got people here in the United States of America who are doing everything that they can, I think, to bring President Trump down concerning any connection that he might have with Russia. You've got the Mueller investigation, and, you know, that has the potential of going on forever. As a matter of fact, I I fear, Bill, what's going to happen with that is that they are going to look and look and look and look and look and look until they find something that they can hang their hat on regarding Donald Trump's connection with Russia. I mean, let me just pause there for a moment and say, I think that's completely unfair and unjust. What are your thoughts on that?
No doubt about it. It's a distraction. You know, it's interesting is this is a distraction. They think this is an area of vulnerability for President Trump. This is a way to disenfranchise him. This is possibly even a way that would lead to impeachment. And they're just totally obsessed by this. What I think has been smart the last week and a half or two, the Republicans on the Capitol Hill have said, okay, enough is enough. We're going to start investigating, and we call for a grand jury to investigate the Clintons' relationship with the Russians, the Clinton conversation with Attorney General Lynch on the tarmac of the airport there in Phoenix, and there were, you know, and on and on. There is, and also we're going to be unmasking of who are the people that, such as Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes and Samantha Power and others, that were involved in the unmasking and the investigation of Trump people, Trump affiliations, Trump conversations, Trump campaign, on and on and on. So, as well, back to the Clinton thing, is the uranium that was released to Russia from the United States, and on and on, and including that cozy little relationship with the Clinton Foundation and the Russians as well. So, you know, the Republicans say, hey, enough is enough. If you're going to go this route, we're going to go this route too. So that's the way they're attempting to defend it. And this is one of those things at this point is somewhat out of control.
Well, it's interesting, Gary and Bill. Gary, you talked about you fear that the Mueller investigation is just going to be a mechanism for just going on forever and ever and ever. I call people's attention back to what I read at the beginning in Jeff Reynolds' commentary, now coming out of this now leftist document, Media Matters, George Soros's basically philosophy for what they're going to do here. But part of that was Trump will be afflicted by a steady flow of damaging information and new revelations and an inability to avoid conflicts and issues. Gary, that's what that Mueller thing is all about. It's a conduit to continue to unearth whatever comes in its path. And I tell you, I read these goals that they've set out, Bill, and that's exactly the direction that these folks are going. Now, let me go back into the Russia circumstance, because we're in the Middle East right now. I mean, Russia's there. You've talked about Iran. You connected Iran and North Korea, and they are working together, which really makes for a really bad duo. Both of them don't care anything about their own lives, and they both hate and want to kill everything that's here in the United States. So they are potent, potent allies. But Russia has a connection in there, not only because of the false narrative of trying to connect Trump to Russia, but Russia itself is there in the Middle East and has a relationship with Iran. Lay out for us what challenges Russia militarily or otherwise means as a problem for the Trump administration, particularly when you link these three, North Korea and Iran, together in the Middle East. Put them together for us.
Well, the Russia influence in Syria, obviously, you know, Assad, the president of Syria, would have not been successful in this last five-plus years if it hadn't been for Russia's involvement two summers ago, and also Iran's involvement there. And they, you know, they basically propped him up and kept him in power, and at the same time attempted to develop some other relationships in the Middle East. Russia, I understand, is doing work in Afghanistan right now, along with Iran. Russia's trying to improve their relationships once again with Saudi Arabia. They, during that gap when Sisi in Egypt overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood leadership, Russia moved right in when the United States Obama administration was chastising them. So they have attempted a relationship there in Egypt. So they're trying to become another power once again in the Middle East, which is very biblical when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39. So, you know, we're watching the prophecies play out. Russia and Iran, obviously, and Turkey are major final day players. And, you know, the Secretary of State Tillerson's had a 20-year relationship with Putin. Lavrov, the foreign minister, has been at the White House to meet with Trump and Tillerson. He likes them a lot, likes their business style of doing business. And it just hasn't worked like they had hoped it would to this point, because Russia wants to be independent, a power, but independent.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of these things that we're laying out here, they're all in the news. They all fit together one way or another. Now, in this next segment, in our solutions segment, we're going to try and examine these things through the lens of Scripture, which is really the only way you can make sense out of it. And I'm going to go the direction with Bill and talk about, are what we're seeing here, obviously, is Trump's problems. They're really America's problems, are they not? And if they're Americans' problems, they're Christians' problems. Well, how does this fit biblically, prophetically? We're going to bring these things into perspective in the next segment.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we now move into our last segment here, our solution segment, that we try to, on this program, take the broader, bigger issues, as we've done in this program, and bring it down, if it has not been done so already, bring it down and look at it through the lens of Scripture. Everything we talk about here in the program, we try to do so with a biblical worldview. We say it very clearly that if you have a biblical worldview and you look at the set of data and information, you're going to see one thing. If you reject God and the knowledge of truth and you look at the same information, you're going to come to an entirely different result, or at least you could. And into that, Bill, I want to come back to you right now. And as I said earlier, I mean, Trump's problems, which we've identified, you've got the domestic ones, the leaks, the media, the establishment, all of that. But you have the international, the North Korea, the Russia, the Iran, the whole set of circumstances that are unfolding. But literally, his problems do become the problems of concerned American citizens. And if you're concerned American citizens, you have among that group Christian citizens. So there is an issue at hand, and for that reason, we need to look at it. From a purely human perspective, Bill, everything we've talked about today can be explained away humanly, just like Hillary, she lost, right? But she blames, wants to blame everything on Russia. She wants to blame everything on somebody else. Just can't say the fact that God didn't want her there, and he wanted Donald Trump in that position. He puts up and he puts down. We can deduce that biblically. Those who don't agree biblically got to try to explain it away, and obviously they can't really do it. But in that being the case, if you take the knowledge of Scripture, Bill, that you have, your position in the White House, all these things we're talking about, and biblical prophecy that you have, if you apply that filter to the things we've talked about today, bring all of this, if you could, into certain focus for us, making some of these things complex into the simple, if you could, please.
Well, that's well said, Sam. And I think we're blessed. We are part of the church, evangelicals that believe that the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God. That also includes Bible prophecy, which is 27-28% of the Bible. So when we see all these things taking place, there is great excitement because we see what the Jewish prophets of old wrote about, and we were actually living in those days. If you don't have that perspective, then it can be very difficult and awe-inspiring. And it can even be difficult for those of us, are difficult for people that know what to watch for, what's coming. I can't forget that. But at the same time, we're blessed to understand it, because those that don't, they are either allowing this to bring them deeper into oppression and challenging times, and even tuning out. And I think that I'm starting to see that right now. It's so difficult, Sam, that some people just say, hey, I'm tired of seeing this day in, day out. I'm just going to tune out. Tuning out is dangerous, because those people that are doing what they can to gain control of things will be even more dangerous. So we need to have some balance there. We need to understand what's going on. Newspaper, as Billy Graham would say, newspaper in one hand, and the Bible in the other, especially the Bible first, and then also to have the newspaper, so you fully understand what to watch for. And that's the difference for what we have today versus many other people.
I remember back, years ago, I heard Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Do you remember him, Bill?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
He made the statement, and of course, he's been with the Lord now for 30 years, but he made the statement years ago that he believed as though God was judging America. And he stated, because of some of the things that we've done in the past, going even back to World War II, I don't want to get into that discussion. But in light of that, when we see what's going on in the nation today, do you think that we are in the days of God's judgment upon America? Or do you think we might be awaiting further judgment? I'm going through the book of Jeremiah in my daily reading, and God gave a lot of warnings to Israel through Jeremiah. And a lot of the conditions that we see back in Israel in Jeremiah's day, we see in America today. We therefore know that God's judgment will come. But my question is, would you believe, like J. Vernon McGee, that we are in judgment now? If so, how is that judgment seen? Or is judgment yet coming on the United States of America, possibly?
Well, I think there's different forms of judgment, I guess, to try to answer that, Gary. I think the number one, we are in judgment, because when you look at the headlines, when you look what's happening to the young people in America, when you look at what's happening to our nation, when you look at the LGBTQ agenda, when you look at other things that are complete affront to the God of our Bible, that we are living in the period of judgment of consequences. Then you will build up to, when you look at the final 3.5 years of the Bible, you have Satan's wrath, God's wrath. So I think we're building into a greater, greater period of judgment. In some ways, it's amazing that we're still standing in our country. I know other countries have nowhere near the amount of believers we do. So I think in a lot of ways, we have domestic issues that we've spread to other parts of the world, but if it wasn't for the praying of the saints and the repentance and things like that, we would be much further into judgment. But that we continue to build that momentum toward a greater judgment, as spoken of in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And one of the things I remember McGee said, he's with the Lord now. He thought that maybe God was judging the United States of America with prosperity.
You can say that as well. Prosperity isn't always a blessing. Mm-hmm. And many times it isn't. So, yeah, that's very well said.
And Bill, let me go to you right now, just a little bit left here. But when we look at where we are, I mean, you talked about the consequences. We have done a lot to deserve God's judgment. So I think that's there with that. But also, we look prophetically. There are things happening, Bill, that are calling our attention to the fact that the Lord's return may be soon. Take us to the Middle East real quickly and say, you know, how many prophetical markers do you think are in place there that put us right in prime time, put so to speak, for the Lord's return?
Way I look at it, you know, when I just started this 20 years ago, Sam, when I would speak to audiences, I would say we'd have two, three, four final day markers in play. But today we have literally every significant Bible marker that the Lord speaks of through the scriptures in play. And when you look at the Middle East, the key players, obviously Israel, Jerusalem, God's time clock, the state of Israel, God's time clock. Look what Iran's doing. Look what Turkey's doing. Look what Russia's doing. Look at the entire Middle East right now. Look at the discussion about the future peace deal, which Daniel 9:27 speaks of a final day peace covenant, a seven-year deal. You know, everything in the Middle East, Sam, is falling right into place prophetically and biblically. And the major final day players, those nations that I just mentioned, are all in play. America is not obvious in prophetic scriptures, but no nation has a greater role in the completion of the final days or in the alignment of final day events than the United States' role, position, and influence within the Middle East and around the world.
What a statement we could have there from Bill he's just made. The United States is playing a key role. Yes, we are, and the prophetical markers are in place. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, should you be afraid? Not if you're a believer. Not if you're a believer. Excited. These are exciting days. Get out and share the gospel. Stand in the gap for truth, ladies and gentlemen, where you are, wherever God places you. And until we see each other tomorrow, 23 hours from now, stand in the gap for truth where you are. Go to the website of Bill Koenig, watch.org. Get the updates on what's happening from a great, great source. Bill, thanks for being with us. See you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net. and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.